Tilbage i 1853 blev der bygget et helt fantastisk palads i Sintra. Sintra er en by, som ligger sådan en halv times kørsel i dag, i hvert fald på en moderne motorvej, 25-30 km vest for Lissabon. Den ligger oppe i Pena Parken, og når vi siger Pena, så er der i virkeligheden ikke rigtig nogen af os, der ved, hvad det her Pena betyder. Men det kommer vi tilbage til med et øjeblik. Jeg står i øjeblikket og kigger ud over Lissabon. Lissabon er ude i det fjerne. Jeg står op ved det her fantastiske palads, som er et eventyrpalads. Det er malet i fine farver. Der er gule farver, der er røde farver. Jeg har set lidt blåt og har opdaget det i øvrigt af udtryk. For den keramik, som man også anvender til at beskytte husene mange steder i Portugal, er stadigvæk gør det en gammel arabisk tradition. Men hvis vi siger 1853, så er det i virkeligheden en sandhed med modifikationer, fordi historien går meget længere tilbage. Vi skal helt tilbage til det 16. århundrede for at forstå, hvad det her det egentlig er. Og ved siden af mig står Sara, som er vores guide her ved besøget på Pena Palace. And Sara, I've just told the listeners about the palace, but also told them that the history goes all back to the 16th century, because at that time some monks was invading the place, so to say.
Well, this was a very important moment for Portugal in the 16th century when we were navigating in the oceans and starting the world trades, bringing the products from Asia, India and selling in North Europe. So this king had money to invest and belief, so it was a big century of beliefs, of faith. So this was a monastery of Geronimus built on top of the hill.
But then something happened, because kings want to be kings. When you are king one place, you also want to be a king another place, and when you are born from a king or queen maybe, you have to tell the story.
Yes, so when the Napoleon invasions happened, the royal family had to run away to Brazil. And there were some princes growing in Brazil, and one of them was Pedro IV of Portugal and the first of Brazil. In the end, he gave independence to Brazil, but first he wanted to be the emperor of Brazil. But he had to come back to Portugal to protect the throne of his daughter and imagine to battle his own brother that had absolutist ideas, and he was a liberal man with liberal ideas.
And liberal ideas, that means, for example, to separate religion from the power of the country. And he actually did that, but it took him 7 years.
Exactly. It was a big impact of a civil war in Portugal, happening north and south of Portugal. Even one of the islands of Açores was here involved. And afterwards, finally, Maria rules and marries this German fellow, Ferdinand of the family Saxe-Gotenburg-Gotha. He's a German prince marrying Maria II, only after that war.
Så den korte udgave på dansk, det er altså, at Pedro, han var nødt til at flygte til Brasilien, og der blev han så i øvrigt også konge ude, men så skulle han tilbage for ligesom at forsvare sin kongeværdighed, også i Portugal, da tingene var faldet lidt til ro på de her kanter, og ikke mindst skulle han forsvare sin datter Maria, som på det tidspunkt egentlig skulle være blevet gift med en onkel. Så sloges Pedro lidt med sin bror, fordi de havde forskellige idéer omkring, hvordan de ville gøre tingene, ikke mindst så ville Pedro meget, meget gerne separere kongemagten fra religionen, og det lykkedes Pedro at vinde. Virkeligheden er bare den, at blot et par måneder efter, han havde vundet den her 7 år lange kamp mod sin bror, der døde han, og så stod Maria tilbage. Og Maria fandt altså så en tysk prins, og med ham blev hun gift, og han havde mange penge, og han byggede altså det her fantastiske palads. But tell me, the name Pena, where does it come from? It doesn't say us nothing up in the Scandinavian country.
Oh yes, in Portuguese it can mean sorrow or feather, but in fact it came from Penha, which means big rock, because there was this appearance of a holy lady under a rock, and people always came up here to this side of the mountain to pray for this holy lady. That's why then in the 16th century the monastery was built.
Så det er altså i virkeligheden en stor klippe, og det hænger jo meget godt sammen, fordi det er bygget på toppen af en kæmpemæssig klippe. Man ser også de her granitsten rundt omkring på området. Vi opdagede det, da vi var ude at køre på mountainbike blandt andet. Og faktisk er det sådan, at man kan se nogle steder i det her fantastiske eventyrpalads, hvordan er klippestenene de indgår i byggeriet. Man kan se, hvordan det går op og en del af væggene. Og så fik de altså denne idé til at bygge paladset. Årsagen til de mærkværdige farver, eller retter meget eventyrlige farver, tror jeg nok, vi vil kalde det. Så det er sådan næsten tonerose-agtigt. Det ligger i den måde at tænke på.
Yeah, so I always say this is before Disney, before TV or cinema. These were the based, this architecture example and celebration exists with the landscape designing of a garden, and it's like an open-air scenario. Here you travel through time and through space because you have the Moorish style influence, Arab style, or you can go in the fantasy of the tales of the knights as well. This king wanted to celebrate the Romanticism movement Ferdinand of the family Saxe-Gotha-Gothen, he was educated in Austria. And Romanticism cultural movement was starting, and he brought that to Portugal and to Sintra.
And when it comes to inspiration, then probably Disney has been inspired. I know that I've been in Disneyland in California, and that is a castle which is looking very much, I won't say similar, but at least very much like the one here. But another guy who was also inspired, it was a world-famous Danish author, Hans Christian Andersen, H.C. Andersen. Han var meget inspireret, han tilbragte meget tid i Sintra.
Yes, him and other authors, either artists or writers, they were part of that cultural movement that was attracted to Sintra because of this landscape and because of the atmosphere. So they were all inspired by each other, and they wanted to be close to the royal family, but also to spend their leisure time and write and be inspired by this unique landscape.
And then back in 1910, Portugal was changed from a monarchy to a republic, or something like a republic at that time. I don't really know what to call it, because you have a very, very difficult time up to the time between the First and the Second World War. And nowadays it's a little bit more calm. And you have renovated the place a lot, because it's looking much nicer nowadays than it did 10 years or 15 years ago when I was here the first time.
Exactly. So we have a long story of political changes, but since 1974 it's a democratic system. And in the last years this company was formed in 2000, and it is responsible to restore, to maintenance and to receive many visitors. So we have a couple of monuments, at least 10, and 340 hectares of woods and parks area.
Og det er altså virkelig en fantastisk oplevelse. Så hvis man er til sådan noget, altså det her, det behøver man ikke være til, det skal man simpelthen se. Men hvis man er til at se den type af monumenter, vi taler altså ikke om sådan en pæl i jorden, hvor der står et navn på, men vi taler altså om paladser, vi taler om værdifulde kunstbyggerier og lignende, så er der altså rigtig, rigtig meget at se på. Og noget af det fuldstændig centrale, fordi vi taler måske nok om, at Portugal de har en lidt svag økonomi i øjeblikket, er, at man alligevel har fundet penge til at kunne renovere de her kunstværker, at renovere de her fantastiske bygninger, sådan at alle vi andre for rundt omkring i Europa kan komme hertil og besøge det og få lov til at drømme en lille smule, fordi det er vel i virkeligheden det, det handler om, når man går rundt på et palads som det her. Tak endnu en gang til Sara, som er guide på såvel det mauriske fort som Pena-paladset for snakken om det eventyrlige palads. Fra de historiske oplevelser i Sintra-bjergene skal vi med raketfart frem til nutiden til det ultramoderne femstjernede Hotel Oitavos, et usædvanligt hotel, som ligger midt i naturen med udsigt over Atlanterhavet. Det er baseret på et åbent koncept, hvor bad og toilet er en del af værelserne, sådan helt åbent. Men det er først i det næste indslag. Inden vi tager hul på det, skal du vide, at hvis du desuden vil se billeder og læse mere og genhøre dele af programmet om Cascais, kan du besøge rejseradioen.dk, altså rejseradioen.dk.